Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City. Today, low testosterone levels indicates worsening of disease for men with prostate. Probiotics can reduce your child's throat infections. Avocado could help cut heart disease risk. Among breast, colorectal, and other cancers, vitamin D can help you survive longer. In depth today, how honey is better than chemotherapy. How's that possible? I'll share that with you. Also, a study finds that there's an increase in type 1 and type 2 diabetes among the youth, skyrocketing. Why? What can we do about it? A big section today on environmental issues. We're going to talk about how ALEC, the American Legislative Council, is aggressively trying to take down the Environmental Protection Agency. How President Obama blasted all of us who are concerned about the secrecy of the Trans-Pacific Partnership as, quote, conspiracy theorist. You think? Well, let's just see if there's any conspiracy going on. Monsanto's Roundup chemicals found to damage enzyme pathways. Also, 1 in 13 children now take psychiatric drugs, some as young as 2 years of age. The newest report shows that dramatic climate change triggered the Earth's orbit. And also, what about wave power? We've heard of wind, solar, but we don't hear anything about wave. We will today. If time allows today, I'm going to do a commentary about what I started last week. Each week, I will do an in-depth commentary on how we have become a criminal society and who's involved. It's most of us. And why? I'll explain this. But I'm going to start with Wall Street manipulators and the proof that we have that everything on Wall Street is a lie. Hence, everything out of the Federal Reserve, the Treasury Department, is also a lie. When it comes to looking after our interest and being the stewards of financial stability. In point of fact, I will prove today that gold, silver, platinum, oil, water are all controlled, manipulated. Interest rates, like the LIBOR, manipulated. Financial criminality, it virtually is epidemic in Wall Street. Then why are any of these people being called out and going to jail? We'll talk about that. And then later in the week, I'll give you examples of all the different communities in the United States who thought it would be a good idea to privatize and some of the responsibilities of local officials. But it turns out it didn't work that way. And now there's problems galore. 1,000% overcharges. Worse service than ever before. And yet contracts that last in perpetuity. So we, the taxpayer, pay for this. It's everywhere you look. I'll go into that in depth. So as you see, we have a lot to share. Let's begin. One of the most devastating cancers is colorectal cancer. There is nothing that orthodox medicine has that it can prove by any gold standard can prevent it or reverse it. This is from the Chinese Academy of Sciences, published in the peer-reviewed journal of the Endocrine Society's Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism. Quote, cancer patients who have higher levels of vitamin D when they're diagnosed, tend to have better survival rates and remain remission-free longer than patients who are deficient in vitamin D. Now, we know that the body naturally produces vitamin D after exposure to sunlight. It can also absorb it through different foods. In addition to helping the body absorb the calcium and phosphorus needed for healthy bones, vitamin D also is involved in binding to a protein called a vitamin D receptor. This receptor is present nearly every cell of the body. All this means that vitamin D is one of our single most important nutrients. And this is one more way that we can help people with breast, colorectal, and other cancers live a longer life. Avocados are good. Most Americans don't eat them, thinking, well, it will cause me to be fat. Not true. In point of fact, the latest study from Pennsylvania State University researcher Dr. Wang and colleagues found that avocados in the diet help cut heart disease risk, especially if you're overweight. It brings down the bad LDL, low-density lipoprotein. It's got the good fats that your heart benefits from. So the takeaway message is, if you want to have a healthier heart, have an avocado. Probiotics can reduce a child's throat infection rate. And I would suggest one of the best probiotics would be raw organic honey, especially Manuka honey. This is the latest. It says, children with a history of recurrent streptococcal or viral throat infections could benefit from oral probiotics. The oral probiotics will kill the streptococcus in a short period of time, and that protects the child from infection. By the way, it also works for adults. So this was good news. So if you have a child, make sure your child's having some probiotic food each day. That could help them. But if they get a sore, infected throat, mix a little probiotic with raw honey and put that in some warm but not hot tea and have them drink it. I can't tell you how often, but it's at least a dozen or more times a week. A man will stop me somewhere and say, this happened twice yesterday. Gary, I got a problem. What's the problem? Man, I'm only 51 years old. I have no libido. I can't get an erection. I'm looking in the mirror, and I don't like what I see. I'm losing my muscle. And I said, have you been checked for low testosterone? He said, no. Well, get checked for free testosterone. And if you've got a low free testosterone, those are the symptoms. So then there's the other person who says, Gary, I have prostate cancer and I have no testosterone. That's also very common. Here's the latest. Quote, for men with low-risk prostate cancer, low levels of testosterone may indicate a worsening of their disease. That's the conclusion of a new study published in the British Journal of Urology. The findings may help physicians identify patients with low-risk prostate cancer who should receive aggressive anti-cancer treatment. So, check your testosterone, men. Most of you don't, and there's a problem if you don't. Our nutrient of the day is honey. Now, being a person that has raised bees, I keep everything, no matter how overflowing the hives are, and I store them. And then come the wintertime, mainly December, January, February, and March, every day I give it all back to them. As a result, they thrive every day of the year. You can see a photograph of the bees from the one hive I've had for 19 years, and you can see they're thriving. What are they eating? Their own organic, raw, untreated honey. And they also have bee propolis and bee pollen. And that's why not having cell towers around them, not spraying pesticides, having organic foliage for them to forage on, these are the things that are important. But what about we who would use honey? And if you have a surplus of honey, more than what the bee requires, including that which they would use, then honey has a lot of properties. And these are just some of the latest. This is from Sayer G of GreenMed Info. And thank you, Sayer G, for pulling together all the research. And it starts with an article in the peer-reviewed journal Molecules. And it simply looked at the role of honey in impacting the development and progression of tumors or cancers. And most people have never thought of honey and cancer, but they should, because it shows that it does have an impact, mainly because of flavonoids and phenolic acids in honey are very strongly anti-cancer. And according to the study, flavonoids are biologically active against 15-carbon structure. And it's a little technical because it involves benzene rings joined by heterocyclic pyrene ring with honey. They have chrysin, quercetin, lutein, apigenin, hesperidin, naringenin, genistein. All these are in honey. No one knew this. Interesting, many of these flavonoids are classified as phytoestrogens, which are phytochemicals structurally similar to mammalian estrogens and therefore can bind in a natural way to estrogen receptors. And while many of these honey-derived flavonoids have been demonstrated to have both inhibitory and stimulatory effects, the vast majority of the cell studies have demonstrated anti-breast and estrogen-sensitive cancer properties of these compounds, indicating that flavonoid-rich honeys, we're talking about raw, unfiltered organic honeys, are positively influencing estrogenic activity in estrogen receptor-positive cancers, which means they're anti-cancer. Now, the superstars would be Manuka, but also Tupelo is good, and wildflower is good. And some honeys, such as Tuelang, that's T-U-A-L-A-N-G, exhibits the property of selective cytotoxicity, meaning they target cancer cells by inducing a programmed cell death, but they leave non-cancer cells unharmed. And this is extremely different than the mechanisms of action behind conventional chemotherapy and radiotherapy, which indiscriminately target both a healthy cell and a cancer cell. And then that, in a turn, creates more cancer stem cells. So, honey for anti-cancer. Now, there was a statement that it's better than chemotherapy. All right, be specific here. There's a study comparing the effect of Tuelang honey with that of the pharmaceutical tamoxifen. That's an estrogen receptor antagonist in two breast cell lines, MCF7, MDA-MB231. The study found that the anti-cancer effects of the honey on breast cancer cells was comparable to that of tamoxifen, which is a multi-billion dollar blockbuster drug. And this is all the more remarkable considering that tamoxifen is classified by the World Health Organization and the American Cancer Society to be a human carcinogen and is technically a inherently toxic and is biologically alien to the human physiology. Also, it was shown that animal research has established honey's significant anti-cancer properties, specifically inhibiting metastasis. Quote from a study, several studies have also confirmed the anti-metastatic, anti-proliferative, and anti-cancer effect of honey on breast cancer or cancer in rodents. But it kills liver cancer, colorectal cancer, prostate cancer, and other forms of cancer. And these are all with good observational studies. So what do we have here? We know that it modulates oxidative stress. We know that it can create programmed cell death of a cancer cell. We know that it modulates insulin signaling because cancer is associated with increased insulin resistance, and honey is capable of reducing insulin resistance. It's believed to mitigate a major driving factor in carcinogenesis. and it also inhibits angiogenesis. Honey's been found to inhibit the foundation by which cancer gets blood. And so, it's terrific. I won't go into the chemistry of it. I'll just tell you that it's there, it works, it's great. Some herbs proven to be excellent cancer fighters. I'm going to give you 8, but most people have not heard of these. But they are substantial. We know that there are lots of different herbs that have been used throughout the millennium by different cultures in helping with different diseases. Some of these have been held to clinical trials. Others have not, but they've been passed down. Ayurvedic medicine. There's 8 herbs right there. The combination of these is called carctol, C-A-R-C-T-O-L, and it's similar to essiac, E-S-S-I-A-C-T, which is a popular 4-herb combination that's been used to treat thousands of patients. And those are 2 of the best. In Sri Lanka, for example, they make a Nigella sativa seed and a root, indicus root, and a glabra rhizome, and it's used to treat cancer effectively. The herb piper, cubeba, C-U-B-E-B-A, has proven to be helpful in treating cancer. These are rich in antioxidants, and they also can impact this particular one, the piper one, can impact a genetic switch called P53. And the herb blepharis, B-L-E-P-H-A-R-I-S, edulis, E-D-U-L-I-S, has been used in Egypt where it's grown, and it was found to be very high in antioxidants. Quote, from a study published there, antioxidants are one of the most important nutraceutical compounds that have emerged from the recent decades in research. They're correct. The Himalayan rhubarb was found to be cytotoxic and therapeutic in recent study. And so we just have to understand there are natural herbs out there going beyond what we've used in the United States. I'm Gary Noll. Tomorrow, I'm going to talk about what happens when you take caffeine, cocaine, smoke a cigarette. Something goes on in your body that makes you feel less stressed, but something else goes on that makes it worse. Creating artificial happiness and the danger of that chemical obsession. So I'll talk about the brain, its biochemistry, and how that addiction can be broken, and so you can lead a happier, healthier life. Also, the newest study I'll talk about tomorrow on the FDA-approved aspartame. What didn't they tell you? Aspartame distorts brain function, kills brain cells. Yep, we'll share that with you. Now let's go to our environmental segment because we have a lot on the environment today, and I'm going to get through it. First and foremost, I believe that Alex should be banned because there are about anywhere between 200 and 300 plus major corporations working in absolute secrecy for almost 35 years. No one even knew they existed until there was an expose just under 2 years ago. Then we found out that they've been passing tens of thousands of bills as laws in the state, all favorable to their corporate members, and not in the interest of the public. Now they want to go into the local communities. They want to get to your local mayors and boards of overseers and supervisors and community councils and city councils. These same corporations are also working hand with the Obama administration on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So they got their treaties coming that would allow toxic ingredients, the abolishment of all laws in the United States if it interferes with their making a profit. And then they're working at the state level, and now they want to work at the local level. So it's bad to the bone. And also, I believe that any legislator that has met in secret and received bills that they take back, pass into law as if they were their own, those people should be removed from office, and anyone who's ever done that historically should be. We should see what bills they passed, and all those laws should be rescinded. So that is my thought. But here's just one more way that these guys, substantially backed by the Koch brothers, are working. Quote, Alex's aggressive new plan to take down the EPA, revealed by Lindsay Abrams, Salam, is the Environmental Protection Agency, as it celebrates its recent Supreme Court victory, an important step forward in its so-called war on coal. The American Legislative Exchange Council is expanding into new efforts to take the agency down. The Koch brother-backed right-wing lobbying group is planning a coordinated attack on the EPA's plan to limit carbon emissions from new coal-fired power plants. Documents obtained by The Guardian reveal, while Alex's normal line of attack is to craft pro-industry legislation at the state level, the documents depict a new strategy in which the group will actively campaign to build opposition to the federal agency among both industry groups and state officials. Here's more from The Guardian. Quote, the document showed Alex adopting a new tactic of encouraging state attorney generals to bring lawsuits against the new EPA regulations and to sink the emissions control before they come into effect. Alex also encouraged legislators to lobby attorney generals and governors in other states on EPA rules. So, now Alex is interfering in the legal process and our rights. Isn't it time that they were sued? Isn't it time that this was brought into the public domain for major debate? I think so. Monsanto's Roundup chemicals found to damage liver pathways. From Christina Sarich, Natural Society, quote, enzymes are essential to proper gastrointestinal health. Some enzymes are responsible for breaking down larger molecules into smaller ones, such as in the process of digestion, and other enzymes are responsible for building DNA. Without enzymes, most important reactions cannot take place in the body, leading to disease or organ failure and even death. A well-designed new study from scientists in Denmark points to the damaging effect of Monsanto's Roundup chemicals on enzyme activity in mammals. The killer of weeds, Roundup, causes absolute havoc on the enzymes in the body. The chemical brew meant to boost GMO crop production is exceedingly dangerous to animals in some of their most sensitive life stages. Glyphosate has been linked to several other health problems as well, but in this particular study, scientists found that specific enzyme pathways necessary for proper functioning are inhibited. In this case, the enzymes in the gut, which allow the body to detoxify itself, are adversely affected. And while this study looked at the gut of animals dining on GMO glyphosate-ridden soy, the results can be translated to the human form just as easily. Researchers in Denmark's university investigated various farmers, reports the request of the Danish Farm Ministry, and that's how it got started. Well, that we haven't done that in the United States. We should have. That's a problem. This is of concern. This is from L.J. Devon from Natural News. 1 in 13 U.S. children take psychiatric drugs. 1 in 13. And boys are drugged more than girls, and nothing is being done about it. I'm concerned about that. This is the latest in the environment. This was interesting because this was sent to me by a man who said that he was writing to apologize. And because he had been an advocate that global warming was not real and that it was just unnecessary bureaucrats looking at some way to interfere in our natural processes. But then he read a report that changed his mind, and he just said, now I have a different view. The report that he sent to me was called Cosmos Online. It's entitled Dramatic Climate Change Triggered by Earth's Orbit. I'll just read the first paragraph from BizBain. Changes in the Earth's axis of rotation and its orbit around the sun may have triggered a series of sudden extreme global warming events 55 million years ago. By beginning a thaw of permafrost, a new study explains how a combination of astrological events and greenhouse gas releases from the thawing carbon-rich permafrost caused the planet to warm and cool again by up to 5 degrees Celsius, three times in the last 3.5 million years. If past extreme warm events can be attributed to permafrost loss, it implies that thawing a permafrost in similar environments today will provide a substantial positive feedback loop to future warming. And that's according to Rob DeConto, climatologist, University of Massachusetts, and the lead author of this study appearing in Nature magazine. So, what is the takeaway message from this? Here's what it means. We have now about 30 tipping points. We are already tipped in some, and nothing we can do will change that. In others, we are trying to make collective and individual change so that we don't further tip, because it'll be catastrophic if we do. Those with resources, those with power, will be able to substantially be unaffected, because there will always be places to live for those people. There will always be a quality environment, water to drink, food of unlimited variety. But what about all everyone else? Well, then you're going to be facing a different reality. And that's why the media has been a supplicant to the power elites. You can't trust the media anymore, any of the media, because you never know who is biased, who is limiting what they will say, and that's part of the problem. Now, that doesn't mean that everything said in the media is wrong. It means you just can't trust. It means you have to do some homework to see where the truth is, and then you can pretty much find the truth. So now we have, because of global warming and the melting of the Arctic, it creates a feedback loop. Why? Because normally, for a long period of time, a lot of land mass is covered by ice and snow. The sun hits the frozen white ice and then bounces back into the atmosphere. That's a good thing. But then when it heats up and the snow melts off the mountains, or there's not enough snow to create ice pack, then there's nothing for it to bounce back off. Instead, it goes in and hits the rock, or in some cases the water, and goes right in. And now it warms up the whole mountain, which speeds up the melting of the rest of the ice. And it's like, just imagine you put 3 scoops of your favorite ice cream on a cone, and your inside is really cold. Now walk outside and it's 90 degrees. How long does it take for it to melt? That's very similar what happens when you get excessive heats and you don't have a deep, thick 6, 8, 10, 12 foot of ice. Look at Mount Everest. Avalanche killed all those Sherpas because of warming and because of destabilization. Then think of the Arctic. The Arctic doesn't have a deep bottom. It's only about 500 feet most places. Means that before, the water would have been really cold because it had been covered by ice for a substantial part of the year. Not now. Now we're going to start seeing ice-free summers in the Arctic. That means that all the sun goes in, heats up the bottom, and millions upon hundreds of millions of pockets of methane are released and go into the atmosphere, and they're far more deadly than would be CO2, carbon dioxide. The Russian tundra, the steppes, the boreal forest in throughout the northern hemisphere, all that was covered in permafrost. Not now. So the very conditions that allowed for the massive increase, 5-degree increase, 55 million years ago, is happening now. What we don't know is when there will be a cataclysmic event. No one can predict that. But we do know every week something else that we didn't anticipate happens. Last week it was one of the worst storms with massive flooding, loss of life, destruction. We didn't expect it. It happened. We're now in one of the longest droughts in Texas, and now they're coming up with an idea in towns in Texas that have no water, how to recycle their toilet water. Well, that, we have the science to do that. That's not a bad thing at all. But everybody waited until there was nothing left to drink. Now, those are people in Texas. It's also happening in Oklahoma, Kansas, most of California. You wouldn't know it unless you're a farmer. If you're not one of the major cities, you're removed from the reality of drought. But go to Nevada and also New Mexico, and you'll see. There was a resort that was for sale, and it was a beautiful resort. And I wondered, why is it being offered so inexpensively? I was given all kinds of excuses. All was owned by a foundation. They want to just get rid of it. Nonsense. I knew something was wrong. So I had a friend who lived out there take a look at it. He said, there's nothing wrong with the property. Something's wrong about they're running out of water. Where are you going to get the water? And there's no local aquifer. Well, then that tells me the story I needed to know, and you're going to see more and more of that. So now we're into a feedback loop. The hotter it gets, the more displacement of normal rain patterns you get. You get excessive rain in one area, excessive heat and drying in another. So that's where we're at today with the environment. Once again, I suggest that people do something smart. Get ahead of this curve. And finally, I filmed this for a documentary I did a few years ago on knocking on the devil's door, our deadly nuclear legacy. And I wanted something very positive to show we can live without nuclear. And I showed all the different things were being done. Small companies, innovative people. Some would succeed, some would not, but at least someone's doing it. And then once it's done, others can duplicate it. And the one man who showed me what was most interesting was wave power. I didn't even know there was a wave generator in the East River. Now, here it is. The two most sustainable energies, the least expensive and the most abundant, is geothermal. But we're not using that at all. We should be. The next is wave, because that never stops. Waves are always there. The currents are there. In some places, more extensive than other places. Scotland, the water around Scotland, around England, around Australia, very strong currents. That means if you have the right generator there, you can be making electricity 24/7 and no pollution at all. This is from Dave Levitan of The Analysis. Quote, why wave power has lagged far behind as energy source? Researchers have long contended that power from ocean waves could make a major contribution to a renewable energy source. But a host of challenges, including the difficulty of designing a device to capture the energy of waves, has stymied efforts to generate electricity from the sea. It's not difficult to imagine what wave power would be like. We know what wind is, we know what solar is, we see it all the time. But there are no commercial scale wave power operators now in existence anywhere in the world. But they're beginning to look at them. For example, you could have a 62 megawatt installation, and that could produce electricity for 10,000 homes. It's a matter of having the political will to do so. And I agree with that. I believe that we should have independence, meaning people not affiliated with any energy cartel or NGO, and simply who have some good basis and good science to say, let's start funding these sources. We should do a massive funding on turning the major deserts into energy resource areas. For example, in all the desert. So the 20 states that are in permanent drought are also 20 of the states that have the most amount of sunlight. California, Florida, Texas, Oklahoma, and Arizona, and Nevada. Perfect places for massive solar. And now the cost of bringing in solar is much, much less expensive than what it used to be. So we could be having millions upon tens of millions of people get their electricity from solar. We could also be doing geothermal. Think of all the hot springs. All that represents an unlimited amount of electricity. We could be using that, and that's completely non-polluting. And not expensive, because there are other countries like Iceland that have made major strides and been using it for a long time. And now when ocean currents. So These are things that we, the public, have to demand. I'm Gary Nall. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. I'm going to be opening up our lines in about 10 minutes for you to have a chance to call in and share your thoughts, comments, suggestions, and queries and questions. Our number is 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. I also just glanced at, but not get a copy of the latest numbers, but I'm going to have our social media person who collects those numbers on the analytics, because I almost couldn't believe them, how many millions, tens of millions of people are tuning in, taking a look, reading the articles. And so we've doubled down on our effort to get you the most progressive articles on at least 50 different categories every day, plus documentaries. And by the way, by the end of this week, we should have 500 different progressive documentaries up free for you to see, because we believe that's a way of helping people move forward our social needs to make it a better world. Because these people, each one of these documentarians, have done a great job putting their time, energy, skill, and resources into bringing us a message, but their message is never going to be seen in most cases. Yeah, Michael Morse will be seen, but how about the 10,000 others that won't be? So we're going to give a home to those so you can watch them. Anyhow, we'll get those statistics in a moment brought in. And then we'll go to your phones. But this is about what I'm very concerned about. From Washington Blog and Global Research, I take a look at our federal agencies and I'm appalled by the lack of transparency, honesty, and I believe that we should have government agencies that serve the people, that are just large enough to do what they need to do, with people who are accountable, where there's outside input, but not from lobbyists, not from political or financial or corporatized interests, but rather just, are you doing your job? What else do we need? And that would save us about 50% of our entire budget. I also believe that the federal government should once and for all stop the game of allowing the Federal Reserve to print money, but banks to actually get the interest on money that they never have a thing to do with except collect interest. This game has got to stop. I believe it should be abolished, and the Treasury should have the job, as it originally was, to print the money and issue it interest-free. I believe that all debt, all interest, should be forgiven. That would save us an enormous amount, 26% of our entire budget, and I'll get to that on another program, entire budget, is interest on the debt. And who do we give that interest to? More often not, it's the bank. The very people who have been culpable in criminal activity. So if you forgave the debt, interest on the debt, and you forgave the credit card debt, and you allowed people to get out of debt, then I think that we'd be in terrific shape. But we still have a completely compromised, corporatized system. Now, that does not mean by any means that every corporation is corrupt. They are not. And by the way, just coming in the studio right now, have a seat, Aubrey. A lot of corporations, and certainly most small business people, are just hardworking, honest, dedicated people. But I'm talking about the real oligarchs, those people who are maniacal in their capacity to make money. And I'll show you how it works. The U.S. Federal Energy Regulatory Commission says, it's their words saying this, not me, that J.P. Morgan has, quote, massively manipulated energy markets in California and the Midwest, obtaining tens of millions of dollars in overpayments from grid operators between September 10th of 2010 and June 2011. Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter David K. Johnson notes just today that Wall Street is trying to launch Enron 2.0. Now, the price of electricity would go through the roof under the latest scheme by Wall Street financial engineers to game the electricity market. Let me explain how it works. If regulators side with Wall Street, which they will, and then expect the cost of electricity to rise from Maine to California as others duplicate this scheme to manipulate the markets, as Enron did on the West Coast 14 years ago before the electricity trading company collapsed under allegations of accounting fraud and corruption. How are they going to do it? There are too many of us out there watching. They can legally do it. Here's how. This is an actual test case. It's playing out right now in New England. We have a lot of listeners in New England. Energy Capital Partners, an investment group that uses tax-avoiding offshore investment techniques and has deep ties to Goldman Sachs, paid $650 million last year to acquire three generating power complexes, including the second largest electric power plant in New England called Brayton Point, Massachusetts. 5 weeks after the deal was done and the check of $650 million was given, Energy Partners moved to shutter Brayton Point. Why would anyone spend $650 million to buy the second largest electric power plant in New England and then immediately shut it down? Energy Partners says its regulatory filings show that all the plant's old and prone to breakdowns, that it's not worth operating. Well, okay, that raises the question, then why would you have not discovered this before you laid out $650 million? Here's the truth of it, and you will never get this from the media, or them, or the federal government. The real answer is simple. Under the rules of the electricity markets, the best way to earn huge profits is by reducing the supply of power. That creates a shortage during the peak demand period, such as hot summer evenings and cold winter days, causing prices to rise. Under the rules of the electricity markets, even a tiny shortfall between the available supply of electricity and the demand from customers results in enormous price spikes. With Brayton Point closed, New England consumers and businesses will spend about $2.6 billion more per year for electricity. That estimate will turn out to be conservative. I expect, based upon what Enron traders did to California, Oregon, Washington, electricity consumers starting in 2000, in California alone, the short-term market manipulations cost residents $1,300 or about $45 billion. So, pretty smart, aren't they? Should we send them an award today? You know, great con guys, you did it. You did it. You screwed the American public once again, and you're going to have the governor support you, your local representative support you, all the members of Congress, with maybe an exception, will support you. The president, he'll do a dance for you. They'll all be happy and high-fiving. You spent $650 million that you knew you were going to immediately collapse the other company, but you're going to make, what, $3 to $50 billion profit? Who wouldn't give $650 if you could make 10 times, 20 times that amount per year in perpetuity? Public Citizen characterized the Energy Partners' explanation of the shutdown as absurd. In the world of business, a firm announcing that an asset purchased just 5 weeks ago is actually uneconomical to operate would be called incompetent, and such a firm would have difficulty attracting capital and staying in business. But the managing partners of Energy Capital Partners are a highly sophisticated all-star crew of former Wall Street financiers. Four of the five managing partners are Goldman Sachs veterans. And the firm's vice presidents and principals are almost all alumni of J.P. Morgan, Morgan Stanley, Bank of America, Credit Suisse, and other financial powerhouses. These are not your run-of-the-mill owners and operators of power plants. They're Wall Streeters, highly motivated to exploit the intricacies of power markets to make as much money as possible for their Cayman Islands-based affiliates. The record is clear that artificially reducing supply to jack up prices was the plan of Energy Partners from the get-go. The strategy is obvious from auction records, as explained by Robert Clark of the Utility Workers Union of America Local 464. Quote, almost immediately after acquiring ownership of the Brayton Power Point Station late last year, Energy Partners intentionally withheld all the Brayton Point's capacity from auction for the purpose of reducing capacity supply and intentionally raising the market prices. that energy partners and its competitors could charge for other New England generating capacity they already owned. So that's just one way Wall Street manipulates us, but it's not the only way. Interest rates are manipulated. Royal Bank of Scotland Group PLC was ordered to pay $50 million by a federal judge in Connecticut over claims that it rigged the London Interbank Offered Rate. Royal Bank of Scotland Securities Japan Limited in April pleaded guilty to wire frauds, part of a settlement of more than $600 million with U.S. and U.K. regulators over LIBOR manipulation, according to court filings. U.S. District Judge Michael Shea in New Haven sentenced the Tokyo-based company's unit of Royal Bank of Scotland, Britain's biggest publicly owned leader, to pay the agreed-upon fine. And that's according to the Justice Department. Global investigations into banks' attempts to manipulate the benchmarks for profit have led to fines and settlements of Barclays, UBS, Rabobank Bank, and also Royal Scotland. And by the way, the Royal Scotland was fined 1.6 billion euros, that's $2.3 billion, by the European Union last month for rigging interest rates linked to LIBOR. The combined fines for manipulating yen LIBOR and Eurobor is not known. But the global fine, which will be somewhere in the neighborhood of $6 billion. You think that's a lot of money? What do you think they make when all of them work together so that you rig the interest on what banks charge each other? They could easily have earned over $100 billion a year. So how stupid are they? They know that our State Department, our White House, our Justice Department are not going to point a finger at them or refuse to do business with them. No one's going to go to jail. No one's reputation is ever affected. If you jaywalk, you can go to jail in our society today. If you can't pay the interest on your student loan, you can go to jail. But still, $100 billion a year? No. No, you'll get invited to a funding meeting at the White House next month. To put the LIBOR interest rate scandal in perspective, the big banks have conspired for years to rig interest rates. So how big is the asset that the LIBOR is pegged upon? $800 trillion. You heard me right. Let me be clear about this. $800 trillion in assets are pegged. This was the largest insider trading scandal ever, the largest financial scam in world history. Local governments got ripped off big time by the LIBOR manipulation. Even though Royal Bank of Scotland and a handful of other banks have been fined for interest rate manipulation, LIBOR is still being manipulated. It's still a scam. Indeed, the experts say that big banks will keep manipulating markets unless and until their executives are thrown in jail. Why? Because the system is rigged to allow the big banks to commit continuous massive fraud and then to pay a small, tiny token fine. And they consider it the cost of doing business. Wasn't it Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph Stiglitz who said the system is set so that even if you're caught, the penalty is just a small number relative to what you walk home with? The fine is just a couple of days of doing business. It's like a parking ticket to them. Not to us. And there is no ability to prosecute because they own the Justice Department. Tomorrow, I'll tell you how they rig the markets. The derivatives markets are 100% rigged. How big is the derivative markets? 1,200 trillions. 1,000 trillions. That's how big the market is. They rig the price of oil. They rig the price of gold and silver. It's fixed. They rig the price of all commodities. It's fixed. I'll detail that tomorrow. I'm Gary Nall. By the way, let me just see if the numbers you just handed me are correct. If you're watching, this is a chart. This is a Google Analytics. Let me read this off just seeing if I'm correct on this. Aubrey, we had 875,709 interreactions.
That's right. In the month of April, we have seen our website and social media platforms being shared and viewed more than ever in PRN's history. So we're excited to share that.
Is this number correct? 31,301,915 impressions?
Impressions, that's right.
Whoa, okay. Well, thank you.
Yes.
I appreciate you sharing with us. And it's not true. We have a lot of people 18 to 20. We have a pretty good size group, 21 to 24. We have a huge group, 25 to 34-year-old. And our biggest group is 35 to 40-year-old women and men listening.
Yep, that's right.
And so that's something no one would have expected. But you hit them, you hit the issues on the head that people really want to hear, and they'll listen.
Yep, that's right.
We've never had an ad. We've never had an article. I don't do interviews. So thank you.
Yes.
Keep us posted. So I want to thank 31,331,915 people for coming and saying hello. And also I want to thank, let's see, Andrew Kahn, executive producer, founder, Planet Heart, and Christine Marie, co-producer. They and a group of other individuals invited me last week to be a keynote speaker at their conference on the annual World Peace and Earth Day. And it was a great group of people. I enjoyed it. And thanks for an opportunity. And also for those of you at Hunter College Saturday night for screening Seas of Death. And especially all of you, the mobs that showed up yesterday across from the Javits Center to protest, the people who were there. I appreciate the fact that you were there. You were there to give voice to the needs of those who've been abused by our psychiatric community, and especially children, those who've been taken away from their parents. I'm editing together a tape on it for those who couldn't get there. And unfortunately, if you would have, there was just no more room. And the policeman was a very kind guy. Because we were doing crowd control, keeping people out of the streets so they wouldn't get hit by a car and off sidewalk, he just kept pushing back the police cars to give more room and more room until there was just no more room. It was a huge crowd, full of energy, full of passion, and most importantly, full of the truth, wanting to tell people about what it was like. I'm Gary Nall. Let's say hello to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. Well, speaking of presentations you've been doing, there's an email here by someone who remains nameless, and he or she says, I was at your Saturday night lecture at Hunter College, and he says, there are hundreds of guest speakers throughout the year at Hunter College, and this was going to be a late night one on a Saturday, and I was surprised at how many people showed up. He said, during the lecture, you asked two important questions. One of the questions was, do you respect women? And of course, everybody in the room is saying, oh, yes, yes, yes. And then you ask them, do you respect them enough to see them not abused? Again, everyone said yes. And you said that you were there because you disagree with the use of genetically modified foods, and you asked how many other people would not be involved with genetically modified food. Everyone raised their hand. And you ask, are you here because you support the 99% versus the 1%? Again, everybody. Yeah. Then you shocked us. You said that we were all full of crap. The room was silent. You showed that all the clothes that you had on were made by union labor in the United States. The food you eat is non-GMO and organic. And you don't support places like Walmart, Kmart, major banks on Wall Street. You don't support Democrats or Republican candidates. Then you pointed out how people in the room were eating burgers, colas, french fries, all of which are genetically modified, and you went around and randomly looked at people's clothing labels, and most all of them were made overseas, a lot of them were made in India, and you said to the person wearing this shirt that was made in India, the person who made this shirt makes 14 cents an hour and was physically abused and works 14 hours a day. And the message was, your actual deeds support the opposite of what you say. And you pointed out the dichotomy between what we say and what we do, what we think and what we believe. And that got my attention. Once you left the lecture, we had an extensive conversation amongst ourselves. It was the most disturbing, unsettling, and uncomfortable lecture that I think we ever heard. And again, one of the most important ones we ever heard. There was actually a point when you were going over all this that I felt sick to my stomach, and I want to thank you for awakening my consciousness. So So I thought you'd be interested in that and wonder if you have anything, any comments on that.
I'll make it quick because we're almost out of time. Most of what the person observed is correct, but also there was a whole buffet out there with people who were very conscientious about the role of GMOs and went out of their way to create some items that were not GMO. Many of the people there were conscious enough to seek out their clothing or their food so it wouldn't cause the destruction of the environment or in any way demean human life, but not the majority. But that's not to put someone down or make them feel bad about themselves. That's simply to say that most of us in our society are extremely dysfunctional between what we would like and idealize versus where we're at in our own journey. And so you don't condemn the person for being overweight. That serves no function. Instead, you simply remind them, do you want to be healthy? And if they say yes, then you say, then please put down the bowl of sugar and the hamburger, and let's start making healthy choices. It's merely a reminder that we have too often in our society, we live with the dichotomy of as long as I am talking the right speech and making the right words, that somehow I'm evolved to that point. Look at our politicians. Look at the promises Obama made. Look at the promises Clinton made. Look at the promises they all make, and then look what they deliver. Don't defend them. Just see what it is. Just go to non-judgmental and say, I'm going to look at the facts, and the facts are going to guide me. And when we can get to that point, then we can actually begin our journey. And I'm very confident that everyone in that room was there because they want to make a difference. They're on a journey, and they're all starting from different places. I'm sure, and I know, because one woman came over. She says, I've been a vegan. I'm very conscious about what I do, and I help in social movements. Many people were that way, but not everyone. And I believe if we all begin to really think about what we're doing, what we're eating, what we're watching on television, how much time we're spending with our loved ones versus how much time are we wasting and just talking in polemics, it will be a better world. But compare those people who showed up and to begin a journey versus those who wouldn't think about showing up because they don't feel that they're in any way responsible for the choices they're making. Thanks a lot, Luann.
Okay.
We're out of time. I want to thank you all for tuning in, and look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Let's say quickly to Al from Brooklyn. Hi, Al.
Yes. What supplement can I take to help swallowing?
It has nothing to do with no. It's not the supplement that involves swallowing. It could be mechanical reflux action. It could be the amount of a saliva that your body's producing. It could be the state of your lymphatic system. You need a thorough examination now. Once your doctor tells you why you have a problem swallowing, then I'd be happy to try to give you some insights. Right now, I'm working completely in the blind. I just don't want to throw out suggestions. Brian from New Jersey. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I was trying to improve my overall health and quality of life with diet and exercise and working out. But I'm kind of lost as every day, what should I be eating every day, and also staying away from all the bread and the meat. It seems like I just don't have an idea of what my daily diet would be.
How long have you been listening to the program?
Probably a couple of months now.
Okay.
I've been streaming it online.
All right. Let's start with power foods. Write that down, power foods. You can watch it up on the internet. Go to YouTube. All right, that'll show you what to eat. And then watch, let's say, Get Healthy Now. That will also help you.
And these are on YouTube?
Yeah, they are. And Kiss Your Fat Goodbye. Kiss Your Fat Goodbye, but even if you're not overweight, it still helps you because it shows you the damaging impact of how food is prepared, what we select, and how we consume it. So those would all help you. All right? All the best to you. By the way, tonight at 7 o'clock, I'll be doing a commentary, in-depth original investigative reporting commentary on the abuses in psychiatry and our mental health field. You won't want to miss that. That's at 7 o'clock tonight on the Progressive Radio Network. Let's say hello to Utrice Lead. Hi, Utrice.
Hello, Gary. Today, we're talking about El Cinco de Mayo, but from a perspective most people have never heard before.
Great. And we look forward to it, as always, Utrice Lead, right now.